This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's colourless, odourless, and can fit into a single bottle cap, but GHB is anything but harmless. Over the past few years, ambulance call-outs and overdoses linked to GHB have risen across Australia, particularly in some parts of the LGBTIQA+ community, and the risk of overdose is high. But there are strategies that can help people stay safer. And joining us now is Jack Freeston, a postdoctoral research fellow at the National Centre for Clinical Research on Emerging Drugs at the University of New South Wales in Sydney. Jack, welcome to Drive.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jack, let's start with the basics. What exactly is GHB and what does it do to your body?
Yeah, so GHB, it's, you know, sometimes it's just called G or Gina or fantasy. As you've mentioned, it's a colourless and odourless liquid. It's usually sold as a liquid that tastes kind of bitter or salty. And it's a central nervous system depressant when it's taken at high doses. So what that means is that it slows down your breathing and your heart rate. And when it's taken at kind of low doses, so about a mil, it can cause effects of like euphoria, it can increase your sex drive or libido, it can lower your inhibitions. And for that reason, you know, we often see it being used as a party drug. However, you know, there is a really high risk around GHB overdose. And because it's a central nervous system depressant, what we see when we think about GHB overdose is, you know, slowed heart rate, slow breathing, and that's where it can be quite dangerous.
What does the latest data tell us in terms about who is using it and who's ending up in hospital?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I think, you know, overall GHB use in the general population is relatively low when we look at it compared to other drugs like marijuana or cocaine. So we see in Australia about 0.2% of people report using GHB in the last year. And we look at other drugs like cocaine, that sits at like 4.5%. So it's relative to other drugs, kind of an uncommon drug. But then when we look at certain communities, we see much higher rates of use. So we look at gay and bisexual men in particular. We see that nearly 20% say they've used GHB at least once in their lives. And then if we look at recent use among gay and bisexual men, in New South Wales at least, where I predominantly work, we see about 10% of gay and bisexual men reporting GHB use within the past 6 months. So there really is, you know, a different or a heightened rate of use among gay and bisexual men particularly, but there's other studies which indicate that among LGBTQ+ communities more broadly, increased rates of GHB use.
One of the most alarming things you've written about is how little it takes to go from a fun dose to an overdose. How small is that margin of error?
Oh, it's really hard to quantify, and it's difficult to quantify because it could look different for every single person and every single batch. And so there's just so many variables when we're thinking about GHB and overdose risk. So it could depend on, you know, the strength of the batch. It could depend on the tolerance of the person who's using. It could depend on whether other drugs or alcohol have been consumed. And all those things, you know, can change the likelihood of someone experiencing a GHB overdose. You know, typically when we're talking about GHB dosing, we're talking about dosing, you know, at a fairly low dose, so around or about a mil. And often, you know, we're saying to people, when you're measuring your GHB dose, use something that has really clear measurements on it because, you know, you want to be very, very accurate and how you're measuring out your dose.
We're talking to Jack Freeston from University of New South Wales, Sydney, about GHB, often used in party scenes, but one that can carry some serious overdose risks. Jack, what does a GHB overdose actually look like?
Yeah, so it can look like a few different things. You know, we did some research with people using GHB. We asked them, about their experiences around overdose, so both their own and their partners and their friends' experiences. And really we saw people in that study sort of talking about three different types of GHB overdose, which they often call like a GHB drop or a GHB blowout. So there were the symptoms of overdose, which kind of were characterized in terms of some, I guess, distressing symptoms. So like agitated animation, muscle spasms, contortions, lots of sweat, you know, those types of things. So that's kind of before we're getting to a stage of GHB overdose where someone might really struggle to stay awake. And so a lot of people spoke about a symptom of GHB overdose being this GHB-induced sleep. And I guess the third sort of tier of GHB overdose was when people talked about someone being unresponsive to any kind of pain or sound stimuli, so comatose intoxication. So there were three different kind of tiers or strata described when we think about like what GHB overdose looks like.
Jack, if GHB can suppress your heart rate and your breathing, can it stop it?
It can. If it, you know, I think the danger is that it can suppress your breathing and heart rate to a point where, you know, there's not enough oxygen going to your brain. And, you know, really sadly and unfortunately, that can lead to GHB-induced death, which is why we're so keen on promoting GHB harm reduction and overdose prevention strategies.
If someone is with someone who does overdose on GHB, how should they respond?
Yeah, so I think really we would always promote calling 000. You know, it's a really first aid principle that if someone's in trouble, we call for help. I think call for help, you know, stay calm, follow the instructions that come down the line. You know, the other things that you'll think about doing would just be about monitoring somebody's breathing, checking that it's normal and steady, and maintaining their airways. So, you know, putting them in their recovery position as well. So calling for help, and then I think really following some basic first aid principles and looking up those resources that are available from places like St. John's First Aid is really helpful in terms of managing GHB overdose.
Jack, if that happens, and hopefully it doesn't, but if that does happen, how important, though, is it that the person is honest that GHB has been used here with the ambulance people?
Look, I think it's a really good idea to tell ambulance and emergency services, you know, the truth about what's been taken, because that will help them in determining, you know, the care to provide. I think when somebody is non-responsive, you know, the ambulance services will treat the symptoms rather than say that particular drug use. However, I still think more information is best.
What about, are there any reversing agents that can be used if you do overdose on GHB?
Yeah, it's a good point. So we know like when someone experiences an overdose after using an opioid, so something like heroin, that they can be administered a drug called naloxone, which reverses the effects of that opioid relatively immediately. It's a really amazing intervention that people have access to. You know, people can get access to take-home naloxone here in Australia right now. There's no drug that can do that for GHB. So no, that doesn't exist.
Let's talk about some of those harm reduction strategies. What are they?
Yeah, so we promote, you know, a range of harm reduction strategies around GHB, but the ones we really highlight are those ones to do with overdose prevention. So we always talk about, you know, timing, dosing and measuring and not mixing GHB with other drugs that can slow down your central nervous system. So drugs like alcohol or opiates or benzodiazepines. So in terms of timing, what we always say is, you know, space out doses. If you're going to take multiple doses of GHB, those doses can have a cumulative effect, and you need to leave probably at least 2 hours between your doses. In terms of your measuring, we always say, you know, measure your G with an instrument with clear markings on it. Don't ever just eyeball it, because the margin of error is so narrow. You want to be very meticulous in how you're measuring out your G. And then in terms of your dosing, we always say that every batch of GHB is different. Every occasion of use is different. You know, always just start low and go slow. You know, you can have more, but you can't have less. And with GHB, that's really particularly important.
Jack, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive today.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Jack Freeston from the University of New South Wales in Sydney.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.